Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LTE, the podcast brought to you by the Register Guard Opinion Page. I'm your host, Brendan O'Mara. Hey, hey. You can follow along the show at @RegisterGuard_opinion on Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter at Brendan O'Mara. If you want to submit letters to the editor, of course, that's rgletters@registerguard.com. 200 words max, please. We're under no obligation to publish everything we have, but publish most of them if they're coherent enough. Of course, we edit them for style and clarity. That's about it. I think we're going to get right into this with Eric Burke of Friends of Trees. We started the conversation by talking about some of the defunct friends, the defunct tree organizations in Eugene. And then we kind of, from that point on, leapfrogged into why that was and why Friends of Trees itself has been more sticky and stuck around. So it's the 30th anniversary of Friends of Trees, I believe, up in Portland. 30 years ago they started, and they are around today. So we jump right into that. Thanks for listening, and enjoy this conversation with Eric Burke. With Friends of Trees that was sticky and has stuck around. What did you learn from all those other groups that went defunct that you were able to learn from so you could actually, gain the right toeholds and stick around?
Building really good partnerships is important. Really doing what you say you're going to do and focusing on doing high quality work and building really strong relationships in the community with your partners, collaborators, volunteers, donor base, businesses. All of that is very important. Also, that it's really hard for an all-volunteer group to make it as a nonprofit, because you tend to get, unless you have a beloved area like Mount Pisgah or something that you can maintain a lot of loyalty around, it's really hard to have leaders who can just stay really driven, tend to get burned out after a few years of doing lots and lots of work and trying to balance that with families and jobs and all the other commitments that people have, and then step down. And there's a lot of weight on one or two people a lot of times in groups like that. So being able to have consistency and a professional workforce really, really helps.
And since you've been at it for a while, what do you attribute your success and your longevity and endurance and persistence with Friends of Trees? What can you point to, in your own skill set for that?
I kind of fell into it. I have a master's degree in applied anthropology, and I worked in many different fields in construction and forestry and landscaping and the nursery industry. I worked in social science research for 11 years. And was volunteering all along with trees, and just became really in love with trees and Eugene's urban forest and the community around that. Just working with trees, I became an arborist about 11 years ago, a certified arborist, and then a municipal arborist. And I've been slowly trying to gain a greater skill set. Eugene has some amazing skilled arborists, many certified master arborists, and I've been lucky to know some of those people that have been able to teach me some basic skills. I still consider myself kind of a beginner to an intermediate arborist compared to some of the amazing arborists in town. But what really caught me was the idea of connecting people to nature. And I have a really passionate love of nature. And I came to see that if you just try and help nature without involving humans, it's really hard to have lasting success. And I think in the long run, connecting us to nature, a lot of our volunteers, it's the first time they've ever planted a tree or used a shovel. And if they can come out to a planting and have a really good time and see that volunteering is fun and rewarding and working with trees is fun and rewarding, I think we can help develop a long-term community of people that care.
Yeah, I know. When I volunteered, I've only done it once so far, but it was a ton of fun. It was a nice rainy day, and we were just, you know, just got muddy, planted probably a half dozen trees in my little cohort. And it was just great to get down on your hands and knees, really like get into the dirt and just get dirty, have fun. And then at the end of the day, have a cool meal with a lot of people who are just, you know, have that satisfaction of having done something that really feels like you're contributing to like what will eventually be, you know, more lush, you know, sidewalks in the urban forest, if you will.
Yeah, that's really great that you came out, and kind of how you describe the experience really fits with a theory of social change to benefit nature in the long run that came out of a conservation biologist named Michael Soule and was published in the edited book Biophilia, where he argues that when we have this lecture model where we talk to people about how bad things are with nature and how much we need to change, and that people mostly don't hear it or it just kind of bounces off them when we approach it with the prefrontal cortex kind of lecture model. And that to really get people to care, you have to access in the long run the emotional centers of the brain, the limbic system, and all of that. And that the best way to do that is to do physical work together in a positive, convivial environment that leaves something tangible at the end. And when I discovered, you know, had that experience with Friends of Trees and Eugene Tree Foundation before it, I could really see just building a really nice network of people who care and doing this work. And we have such a great core of volunteers now. We really miss them with the corona issue right now, and are looking forward to re-engaging when this is all over.
Now, I'll stand in as sort of a proxy for those who might not know, and I definitely don't, which is why I'm asking and not so embarrassed to ask. Hmm. So what does an arborist do, and maybe what specific skill set might be specific to a municipal arborist?
Well, municipal arborists work in the urban forest, which is really all the plants, trees, shrubs, grasses, everything. And the whole natural community in a city. And so arborists in particular work with trees, and there's all kinds of different things that they do, from planning for trees and climate change. You know, some of the city's urban forestry staff work on that, from figuring out how trees fit in new housing developments. There's so many different things they do. We just got a load of chips delivered to our office that we mulch our trees with today from a local arborist, and just a phenomenal local company, Green Tree Arborist. And that's from them being out pruning and doing work that helps trees thrive in the long run, and taking the branches that they cut off the trees and chipping them up. And then we recycle them back as mulch on the trees. Arborists also can go look at trees that are having health problems and try and understand what's going on in terms of pests and diseases. There's quite a few bugs and diseases that are in our city and causing trees to die and struggle. Many people have noticed that most of the birch trees in Eugene and other Willamette Valley cities are dying and have been removed these days from their lack of drought tolerance, making them susceptible to a bug called bronze birch borer. we're really looking into the effect of a bug called shot hole borer, ambrosia beetle, right now, and trying to prevent really serious bugs like emerald ash borer or Japanese beetle coming into our area that could cause a lot of damage. Emerald ash borer could kill all our ash trees. So arborists also plan for those kind of things and work on prevention. There's just so many things that arborists do. My background is mostly working with volunteers. And so I'm not as skilled in disease diagnosis or all that kind of thing. I'm not great at tree climbing. I just have climbed a few times, taken one class. But I really admire all our local arborists and the work they do.
Wow, a class in tree climbing? Explain that to me. That's fascinating to me.
The old tradition and still practiced by a lot of arborists and it gets you into trees that are bigger than you can get to with a lift truck or in hard to reach places. And is a great way to work on trees is through climbing them. And it's really an amazing art and science that arborists have done for decades, if not centuries. And I took a class from the International Society of Arboriculture in Seattle last year, where just learning the basics, where you know, you have a throw line and you get a line up in the tree. So you have to practice throwing, and that's a skill in itself. And once you get that line, then you have a belt and a harness that you attach yourself in, and learning all kinds of knots and the proper way to get trees safe, get lines safely up into trees, and the way to be safe when you're doing it. It's very, very dangerous. And so safety is of the utmost importance. So really paying attention to your gear and your ropes and checking it really thoroughly and working together and watching out for each other. There's so much to it, and it was just a blast to be out.
Cool. Well, as we wind down here, Eric, this is really fun. I really hope this will be kind of the first of many conversations, because I think there's a lot of really cool things to worth unpacking with the work you guys are doing. But as we wind down this preliminary conversation, where can people get more familiar with Friends of Trees? And once all this COVID stuff settles down, they can sign up and volunteer and get their hands dirty.
Well, I think there's a couple places. You know, once the COVID stuff settles down, we really encourage people to come out to a tree planting. We also have a volunteer tree pruning program, which is typically July, August, and September. And so depending on how the COVID stuff is going, that may be an option. It's very small group. Usually it's just one or two people going out, one to three people going out together. So that could be an option. We have a series of tree walks every year that, well, we're not able to do them because of Corona right now. When things open up, we'll be having them. They're particularly nice during the fall color time in late September, early October. We usually have three or four just during the fall color time. And we're also doing virtual tree walks on Facebook and Instagram. So that's a great way to get a little taste of the urban forest.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks for hopping on the podcast here and letting us know a little bit about what you do.
Thank you, Brendan, and thanks for all you do, and really appreciate the opportunity.